Now. Good evening, this is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Lenten worship. We will be using the order of Vespers on page 41 if you're following along in the hymnal. The scripture lessons that I will be reading in a moment are as follows. 1 Corinthians 1, 21 to 31. 1 Matthew 10, 32 to 42. And then we will be reading Psalm 51. And the closing hymn is 147, O Christ, Thou Lamb of God. And the psalm is 51, as I said a moment ago, and that's found on page 134 in the hymnal, or you can go directly to your Bible. Let us begin. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. Then the responsive psalm reading, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil that is in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Jerusalem, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they bring bullocks upon thine altar. So far. The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 31. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So far, a reading from St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 to 42. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And think not that I come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever shall give drink to one of these little ones a cup of cooled water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So far. My sermon text, St. Mark 15, verses 16 to 15. And now at the feast of he released unto them one prisoner, whomever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But then Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him out of envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I should do unto him whom you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out even more, Crucify him, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, and when he had been scourged, to be crucified. So far.
Thank you.
were happening quickly now. The trial of Jesus is being hurried along. It's not because Pilate wants to speed things up, but because the Jewish leaders want Jesus on that cross. The mob has become both hot and cold, but now their passions have reached a feverish pitch. The mob has taken on a personality of its own. The Jews, who had been simply unbelievers, have now become rabid accusers, intent on nothing less than seeing Jesus of Nazareth crucified. "Crucify him," they shout over and over again. They want an innocent man to suffer. They think only of themselves, not the cruel suffering Jesus will have to undergo to satisfy their evil desires. They ask for a murderer to be released instead of a man whom Pilate can find no charge. "What shall I do then with Jesus?" Pilate asks. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" the people cry. This evening, let us answer that question for ourselves. Crucify him? Yes, if we follow our sinful desire. But no, we would never do that because we know that he is our Savior. On Good Friday, there were a number of people responsible for the greatest injustice that the world has ever seen, the crucifixion of God's Son. All these people were following the passion and the coldness of their sinful nature. And one of those was Pontius Pilate, because by his own admission, Jesus was innocent. And Pilate had examined him. He had examined Jesus himself. And so had Herod. Both found Jesus innocent. And Pilate told the priests and the rulers of the people, "I found no basis for your charges against him, and neither has Herod." Yes, Jesus was innocent. He had done nothing wrong. Yet Pilate agreed to the crucifixion. Pilate dismissed the claims of Christ. He looked past the divine person who was standing there before him and did what was expedient. After all, there could be a riot. It was in the best interest to hand Jesus over to be crucified, even if he was innocent. And so, in a very real sense, Pilate too was saying, "Crucify him." But it was the religious leaders who were especially guilty. They were the ones, the Bible tells us, who, for a long time now, had planned for this day. They had pulled the strings, they had worked behind the scenes, they had done everything in their ecclesiastical power to bring about this execution. Why? Well, because they hated Jesus. They hated him for being God's Son. They hated him most of all for claiming to be their Savior. These men were the leaders in the church, and Jesus was threatening their leadership. They were convinced that they needed no Savior. They felt that their lives, their works, their self-righteousness were on a much higher plane than that of the average person. They believed that their being acceptable to God was a foregone conclusion. Remember the Pharisee's prayer, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men." And to this Jesus said, "You hypocrites. Instead, you are full of wickedness." Yet in spite of this stern message, the Pharisees would not repent. And on Good Friday, they cried out, "Crucify him." Also, the crowd itself was not innocent. Even if they were led by their religious leaders, does not get them off the hook. And even though they had heard Jesus preach, seen him heal the sick and raise the dead, well, they had lost interest. At first they were excited, they were thrilled, and they wanted to make Jesus king. But Jesus disappointed them. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is spiritual. If you plan to be citizens of my kingdom, you will have to take up your cross and follow me. And the greatest among you will be like the least." And what was their reaction? Well, they were offended. They wanted power, not meekness. They wanted bread, but not the bread of life. They wanted something here, not in the hereafter. And so it didn't take long for them to cry out, "Crucify him." But the desire to crucify Christ did not end with that crowd on Good Friday. In the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we are told that even people today are crucifying the Son of God all over again. Yes, the crucifixion took place 2,000 years ago on Calvary, but what led up to it is still happening today. Christ continues to be crucified by people who, like Pilate, dismiss Jesus for the sake of expediency. Christians, too, feel pressure by the world, at work, at school, and even in the family. They feel pressured by those around them, and they get trapped into compromising their confession of faith. In other words, it's best not to make waves. And there are others who see little or no need for a Savior. We live in a society that has cheapened God, that has watered down God's law, and almost completely lost a sense of right and wrong. People believe that they are going to heaven because of the kind of lives they live. They focus on their own works and consider the atoning work of Christ to be of little value. I hope all of us this evening will examine ourselves, be honest with ourselves, and admit, "I too have thought little of my sins. I have wished for a Christ who would give me all the things that I desire. And I know that by my sinful nature I fit in that crowd, and by our sinful nature we too would have shouted out, 'Crucify him.' But thank God, this is not the end of the story. If it were, we would all be without any hope, without any happiness, without any complete forgiveness. It would be without a future, left in total despair and damnation. However, the story does not end with our sinful human nature getting its way, thank God. God turned the tables, and in his love, God used that terrible injustice that we and all people caused by our sins and rebellion and turned it into good. This is exactly what happened on Calvary. Mankind unjustly put Christ on the cross, but God used it for good, yes, for the good of those who committed that crime. At the cross, we are not only confronted and convicted of our sins, but we are forgiven as well. When Jesus suffered and died there, he died so for us. He gave himself as an offering to God, as a payment that God demanded for your sins and for my sins. And because he made that payment, we can stand before God perfectly clean and perfectly acceptable to him. It's ironic, isn't it? Not only is the cross a shameful tool of execution, but it is also the means of grace. Along with the empty tomb, the cross is a symbol that our sins have been forgiven, that Jesus Christ has won the freedom that he came to provide. Freedom from sin, its guilt, its control over our lives. Freedom from eternal death that we have earned for ourselves. Freedom from the devil, who wants us with him in hell for all eternity. Our text also tells us of a man who was freed because of Jesus, and that was Barabbas. His life of crime had finally caught up with him, and now he is sitting on death row, and in the very near future, he will be taken to the hill of the skull and be crucified. And a notice would be posted above his head, announcing his crime, murder and insurrection. I wonder what he was thinking. What was he feeling? Could he remain tough in spite of the torture, choking death and hellish torment? On Good Friday, about the time Jesus was making his way to Calvary, the bolt on Barabbas' prison door was thrown wide open. It seemed that his time was up, but Barabbas did not hear the dreadful words that he thought he would hear. He heard, "Get up. You're free to go." Was this a cruel joke? A part of the crucifixion ritual? No. It was no joke. Another man, a substitute, would be put to death in his place. Now, whether Barabbas understood that he symbolized what Jesus would do for the entire world, well, we don't know. But that is exactly what he symbolized. Jesus provided freedom for the entire world, just as he provided freedom for Barabbas. Barabbas walked out of his cell, the dark, gloomy place where a prisoner's end was certain. He walked away from it, completely free because of Christ. Well, we too have been freed. God's Son has thrown back the bolt of the door to our cell and told us to get up and come into his freedom. By the working of the Holy Spirit, we have been moved to stand up and to live in freedom, to walk in the joy of forgiveness and be confident of eternal life. This we can do because of God's Son. God's Son has set us free. Crucify him again? Never. Amen. Let us now have confession and absolution. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee, of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Moving back to the order of service, we'll continue at the bottom of page 42, moving over to the bottom of page 43 with the Nunc Dimittis. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Lord, now let us, now thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before us, the face of all people, a light to the light of the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall ever be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you, O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed. Give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And bless be the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you now and forever. Amen.